You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming. Those are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming. Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists.
Time for Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Well, good day, and welcome back to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I am the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time to improve his or her business. We do that by accomplishing the wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so that consumers seeking personal or professional solutions for business can use or be better informed when making purchasing decisions or hiring individuals to carry out those technological decisions. Each week, I'll focus on topics about technology. Today, I have a guest here from Eureka Technologies, Rupak Gupta. He's a web developing business, and we'll talk all about that. We had a show about that last hour. To contact me during the show, go to Tech Today on Facebook, email me at goodmorning@huntingtonchamberradio.com, phone number here in the studio, 908-237-0410, and to contact me outside of the show, bluepantherbiz.com. All right, we have Rupak Gupta, who is the co-owner and the president of Eureka Technologies in White House Station. We talked last hour about all the different programs and services that Eureka offers, and this hour we're going to talk a little bit more about the nuts and bolts about the web design, the technologies, the programming languages that are currently being utilized. So again, good morning, Rupak. Welcome back to Huntington Chamber Radio, but welcome to Tech Today.
Thank you, Chris.
So we talked a little bit, like I said, about your business and all the different programs and services. Currently, let's just give out an update about your business and what you offer for this show.
So we are into web development and mobile application development business, helping small businesses to create their presence, get the applications that will enable the business into the field.
Mm-hmm.
And we also help startups who have an idea of a web product or a mobile product to get from the concept phase into a product phase and out over to the customers. We walk them the whole nine yards.
All right. And we went through all the different products and services, but so now you have responsive website design, you have web development that deals with the back end of data collection, high-performance websites that deal with the being able to handle rapid transactions, multiple transactions at virtually the same time. Startup consultation to help businesses that have an e-commerce type idea, get them up to speed. You can put together a contact management system in 7 days, which is more of a brochure type. And third-party integration is all involved in your website if, obviously, the functionality is necessary. Given all that, Rupak, what is the current technology standards and languages that you are using today?
The technologies that we are using, we are more focused on the open source. So
okay.
When we talk about open source, we talk about PHP. So the languages that is our primary programming language is PHP.
Okay.
And the other languages is very good to have, and your skill set is Ruby on Rails.
Now, what is Ruby on Rails? Is that a development system or is that a language?
It is also a language.
It's also a language.
It is also a language.
All right.
And which is coming up in a bigger way. And one of the latest that is being developed by Google is the Go language.
The Go language, okay.
So that is the latest addition to the ecosystem of languages. We usually know about Java. We usually know about .NET.
Right.
PHP came out in a big way. They were not even considered a language.
Mm-hmm.
And latest addition to a skill set is JavaScript. They used to be just scripting languages, but now they are slowly metamorphing into a whole new ecosystem on its own.
Mm-hmm.
They have big libraries like AngularJS.
Wow.
It's a very famous library.
Wow.
So the whole ecosystem is rapidly changing.
All right, so back in the early 2000s, when you were working with enterprise-wide technologies, Java was what you wanted to do. You wanted to have servlets where the code was up on the servers that people could not manipulate the code. You're saying PHP has replaced that or at least has competed with that?
It is in competition. I would not say it has replaced. It has Java has its own place.
Mm-hmm.
Even in enterprises today, we are using Java.
Right.
When it comes to web and the open source, that's where the PHP is coming in a big way.
Yeah, and the fact that Java has moved over to Oracle made some people give some pause. I wouldn't say it would stop it. And the fact that Java is not going to be replaced anytime soon, it's a it's an enormous language, and so many applications have been written in it. Very good applications, by the way. It used to be a very secure language, so it's still going to be around for quite some time. When do you make your choice? Do you make a choice, or are you always now? If somebody comes to you with a project, is it always going to be PHP?
No, it depends on what the requirement is and which language helps me support better.
So what is your delineation? What functionality is this person looking at that says to you, I should use PHP versus Ruby on Rails?
If it is web application, uh-huh, I would definitely close my eyes and say PHP.
Okay.
If the guy comes in and says, my application is already built on Ruby on Rails and we need to enhance it, okay, then we have to go with Ruby on Rails.
Right.
When you are running a company, the choices around the application or the languages also goes around the availability of the resources and the skill set available.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have, like Ruby on Rails is a perfect example. You will not find a lot of people coding Ruby on Rails.
Right.
And the reason is, Ruby on Rails is not a regular course curriculum in many educational institutes.
Okay.
You will get a lot of people in .NET, a lot of people in Java, yeah, and then PHP are usually self-learners. And same goes with Ruby on Rails.
Well, I've seen this iteration before. I've been in the biz for 25 years. So way back when we had VB, and then PowerBuilder usurped it because PowerBuilder had a stronger base. Then we got to .NET, but it was VB.NET, and C# was ignored. It was looked at as a copycat of Java. And then, I don't know how it happened, but Microsoft pushed C# to a point where C# became the choice over VB.NET. And now it competes in the Microsoft platform with Java. So it's just a matter of Ruby on Rails being presented enough to make it intellectually a good choice. To become a choice that developers, but while it's not, while it's still on the outskirts, it's very concerning to you as a person who's implementing certain technologies to say, why would I want to put my client on a technology that is potentially not going to make the mainstream? It's a very dangerous situation.
It will make mainstream for sure on Ruby on Rails, but the issue over here is how cost effective it'll be for my client to maintain it.
Right.
Because if the resources are expensive, then his cost of maintenance goes up too.
Sure.
And Ruby on Rails offers a lot of performance enhancements, and it is a very modular language.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on the choice of the product, you go by the language. Like, for example, most of these languages have got these wonderful, robust APIs.
Yep.
So based on the functionality, you have to choose where I can build it much faster.
Right.
And in today's cloud computing world, a lot of times you do not reinvent the wheel. You simply plug yourself with a product that is already available using web services.
Sure.
And leverage on what is available out there rather than building everything from the start.
Yep.
From the scratch. And that is a beauty in today's world in terms of application development. Your cycle to bring it out in the market is reduced to an extent where you say, I have a concept today, and within 8 weeks you might have a product.
Yeah.
Because you can go and tap into Amazon Web Services and they will be able to give you a database or even give you the whole data mining tools. Sure. All you need to do is hook up your data into their services.
Yeah, there's a tremendous benefit to using pre-coded APIs because, like you said, or it's already built. Somebody else is maintaining it. And our experience with using them, especially interfaces that are on the computer, on the user interface, we're used to those metaphors. So if you bring that metaphor into your website, you feel like you're part of the stars, like you're part of the group using the latest and greatest. So to put something else out there is in danger because people are not used to seeing that. Take the calendar app for just a minute, the calendar API. people are used to a certain way that the calendar looks when you ask to put an input a date. If you put another API in there, people might look down on it and say, well, it's not like the one I use over on such and such. So using the most common ones is the best way to go for many reasons.
Absolutely.
Another thing that I saw on your website is Drupal. What is Drupal?
Drupal is an open source content management system that gives out HTML formats.
Okay.
So it enables you to deliver a website with a lot of bells and whistles very fast.
Oh.
It has a very vibrant community which is very active in keeping up to the changes, which is a key element when you're looking for open source. That you community that is around you is contributing to the cause of the software.
Okay. Now, if you were going to provide me a content management system, I don't need to know Drupal, right?
You do not need to know Drupal.
So that's for you to know to actually separate the content from the functionality.
Yes.
But when it comes to actually inputting the content, I'm going to get a user interface that you said on the last program I log into, and then I go to certain, I guess, pages where I can update a certain text about my business or my services.
Absolutely.
Very good. We're going to take another quick break. We're talking with Rupak Gupta of Eureka Technologies in White House Station, and we're talking tech and talking technology. Hang on. We'll be right back. Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand, or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm a CPA with the accounting firm of Bedard Corky & Company, and I joined the Chamber to interact with new Chamber members and expand our mutual needs for business networking and giving back to the Hunterdon business community.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I have Rupak Gupta of Eureka Technologies in White House Station. And we're just talking about some of the languages and that are available or being used by his organization for putting together web development and web technologies. But one of the things that goes on in the iteration, and many people that are in web development know this, but people who are outside of it, thankfully do not, is the iterations of development to take place to get a fairly complex website built. So Rupak's going to take us through how the stack of all the different technologies that may incur in developing a particular website.
Hi, Chris. So the development stack
Yep.
There are a lot of things that go into building up of any software that you're making. Now, whether it's a website or it is a software, usually the process is the same. You have a stack of your servers, which might be a Apache server, running on some Linux platform. And then you have your coding. On a website, if you are trying to connect with a database, which is, we call it as content management systems, then you need a programming language like a PHP. For the front-end part of it, you need something which we call as, now the latest and greatest is the standards of HTML5 and CSS3. CSS helps you to place and give you the visual effects of the elements, whereas HTML helps you to get the things organized. Then there is a third element, which is the JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
Now, JavaScript has becoming stronger and stronger day by day.
Yep.
You go on a website and you see that nice hover effect. Hey, I rolled over my mouse and boom, there goes the whole website in a different area.
Right.
That is JavaScript. So just to build a website, you need at least 4 different languages.
Yep.
You need to know HTML5. You need to know CSS3. You need to know JavaScript. 3 basics for a front-end designer. Then you need to know a PHP or Ruby on Rails or .NET or Java.
Mm-hmm.
With these 4 different sections, you will be able to build up your website.
And that's just to create the interface.
Yes.
And then there's all the different technologies back in the back end. If you're going to work with databases, you need to know SQL. In addition to knowing the languages, though, you also have to know the development environments. What development environments are you guys using over there?
So we use Eclipse quite a lot. It's an open source, free available.
Familiar with that, yeah.
And we play a lot in Eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of different environments, but that depends on your choices
right. In
terms of what you want to use. Eclipse is fairly adopted by IBM and has a very wide following. You can use Eclipse these Eclipse is also known as integrated development environments, mm-hmm. that help you to integrate your HTML with CSS, with JavaScript, with PHP or Java, and run all at one go.
Yeah.
Then you need a version control mechanism.
Yep.
GitHub is a big place right now where you can do your version control. And Git is much better because you can also fork your code and help other people help you out. And then later on in your team, if you have 4 people working on 4 different sections of your code,
mm-hmm.
you can actually merge it into one or
nice.
Fork it out. And
nice.
That is where Git has taken over the other version control systems.
Wow.
Now, as you move along, you need to have integration services. Now, integration with social media.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you are integrating with social media, there many a times you would have seen, hey, I did share this page, but the picture of the page is not coming nicely on my Facebook wall.
Right.
And that is a usual place. Hey, I did share it, but it is not coming out nice. That is where you have the API from Facebook of Open Graph. Now you need to integrate the Open Graph into your code.
Right.
So.
And you need to understand how the APIs work.
How the API works.
Right.
API is a key to understand APIs and libraries.
Yep.
And yes, so many of them. You have to make sure you choose just one and bring on. What I usually tell people, it is not the language, it is the process that you need to learn, because most of the languages follow almost similar process, just the name changes,
yep.
the implementation changes, but generally the process remains the same. The design patterns that you follow, they remain the same.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, like you have design patterns to lay down the city, you have design patterns in programming languages to follow.
Yep.
And if you're not following the right design pattern, you might be laying down flat on the road.
Yeah, it takes a couple of languages to realize that, but after a while, you don't think in a language anymore. I've been exposed to, I think, 22 different programming languages, And at some point, you just think in the structure. You just think in the way the process it's going to be built. And then you can go and grab any language book and write the code, because every if statement is the same. Every do statement is the same. You just have to know the syntax. So it's if you don't understand how to structurally build an application, that's your danger. But yet everybody falls in love with the language, and that's the real danger. So learn how to build the process. Learn how to structurally build a good product. Language is, and I won't say immaterial, but it's not the primary concern. You mentioned your version control. This is interesting because I don't think people realize that you need to protect yourself from a number of different things as a developer. You need to protect yourself from destroying code that already works, that you've already approved or have gotten approved. And then while you're working on a new version or new iteration or new changes, you're working on that, keeping the other one protected. The version control at GitHub, I guess, provides that, and then also provides the ability for you to work on multiple iterations?
Yes, it does.
That's neat. And the fact that four different people could work on the same code and then have them all merged together is also a very, that's a great innovation.
That brought a whole new perspective to do the version control. Otherwise, you're checking in and checking out and two people cannot work on the same code. And then when you were merging, it was a nightmare.
Right. So now, when you get a person, it's extremely possible, Rupak, that somebody could be coming to you with a website that, let's say, was developed 10 years ago. I mean, that's entirely possible. They haven't really thought much of it. It's been there for a while. Somebody has gotten a bug in the ear that says, you know what, you really need to update your life a little bit. And they come to you. What are some of the technologies you've come across that you've had to deal with, or some of the organization of websites that you've had to deal with in the past that are not the way it's done today, 10 years later?
So I get a lot of people who have just pure static HTML sites.
Yeah.
Or they were done in ASP, in the old ASPs or the old Javas that we know about.
Right.
And some are in PHP also, mm-hmm. but the way we know ASP, Java, and PHP today, and the way they were known a decade ago, is a whole different story.
Right.
And the biggest challenge when we get people is not about the technology, and especially on the websites, it is about the ranking in Google. And a lot of people do not give a thought, but redesigning a website is less of a challenge in terms of technology. It is more of a challenge in making sure that they do not lose their ranking.
Right.
And so the key elements around that is, if you notice from the technological standpoint, a lot of old websites, they do not have the URLs, which are, in technical terms, we call them as a clean URL. So they will have all the percentage and ampersands and the URLs.
Right.
And that is where our challenge goes in trying to convert those URLs without losing their place in Google.
So what you're suggesting is that Google has connected those crazy URLs to a score.
To a score.
That a person has built over time.
Yes.
And if you change that, they're starting over.
They're starting over.
So oh, wow.
So we have to do a lot of analysis. So now my challenge is, if I get a client and he says, hey, I have this website, and when I type this, I come first on Google. Mm-hmm. I do not want to lose it.
Right.
My question is, do you have Google Analytics configured on your site?
Right.
And he comes back, no, I don't. And I'm like, okay, if you do not have Google Analytics, then it is very difficult for me to know which keywords you are ranking, how you are doing. So now we will have to configure you and then wait for next 2 months to collect the data before even we can say, okay, this is how we are going to work.
Okay. So there you go. If you learn anything right now, get Google Analytics on your website. Right now. There's a huge tip right there. That was about $100 worth of tip. So before you can start anything, Google Analytics is the way to go. All right, so you guys keep running into, and you've had 10 years of iteration of the way the websites are working. I know they're out there earlier. Another thing that I've run into, I'm wondering if you run into this now anymore or it's gone away, all the different browsers that are coming out and have been out, the fact that websites view differently in different browsers, has that gone away?
It is even more
persistent.
And it keeps down as a nightmare to us, yes, when we are testing the websites. I remember there was a time when we said we are not doing IE8 or 9. Yep. We will do Chrome, Firefox, and Safari.
Yep.
Because there's so much of disparity between the standards, especially when you're trying to make a responsive website.
Yep.
When you are trying to make the regular website of a laptop, it is much easier to be compatible. But the kind of effort that goes in making a responsive site, you have to use, I'll throw out another tip, to check how a website will look on different devices.
Yep.
How do you do that? There's a wonderful tool out there called as responsinator.com.
Really?
If you put your site in over there, you will know how site is looking on different devices.
I had no idea.
Right from your laptop.
That's neat. I didn't know that. I just learned another tip.
So now have that tool right in front of you. Similarly, Chrome has got a lot of extensions where you can visualize how your website is going to look in different browsers.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it is a constant challenge.
So you should be happy that Microsoft's considering ditching Explorer, right?
Yes.
He's smiling. Oh, yes. For those of you who don't know, the world of Microsoft Explorer versus all the other browsers makes people's life miserable. And I've talked on this show many times. You are susceptible to a lot of virus attacks by using Internet Explorer. So fortunately, Microsoft has decided, or at least it appears that way, that they're going to finally get away from it. But we'll see. We'll see. So that's very cool. So now, and then how about the world of mobile web or responsive websites in all these different smartphones? You got the Note, you got the Galaxies, you got the Nexuses, the Blackberries.
And
I mean, when do you finally say enough is enough?
And you don't. That's the beauty of being responsive. You keep adding a new device every day.
Oh my.
With a different screen size, with a different format and a different functionality. And that is how it's going to be for the next few years, where you will see that the data is updated at one place, but mm-hmm. it can be viewed in all the different devices on all different applications.
Yeah.
The way I see the world going, Internet of Things, IoTs, are coming out in a big way.
Yeah.
So initially, when we started with the technology, you had just this internet. And we got used to reading information on the internet. Then the second wave came in of technology, and this information was interfaced with our social life. And now we have this web where you are interconnected within your social in the real life over internet.
Mm-hmm.
The third wave that will sweep us is about connecting our devices with the internet and making these devices smart.
Right.
Like LG came out with a new refrigeration device of IoT where it will tell you what is in your refrigerator when you are at your grocery store.
Nice.
So that is, and then with all that kind of a data, you need tools to analyze the data. So that is exactly where the big data comes in, where you have the information in relational databases like SQL and MySQL. And then you have information from Facebook, from Twitter feeds, and all of these rather heterogeneous kind of environments.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring them together, and that is exactly what your big data is.
Right.
It helps you analyze data which is not in a particular relation,
okay,
which is fragmented.
So it's looking for correlations.
It is looking for correlations.
Yeah.
And then as the technology moves on, so I was alluding to web technologies in which you just needed initially to bring up a website, a programming language like a PHP, Java, or a .NET. Mm-hmm. On top of it, you need HTML5, CSS3, JavaScript. But just knowing that is not enough. Now, once you have the website up and running, you need to integrate it with various systems. Now you need APIs and you need the skill set of web services. So if you know web services, you are very, very powerful because now you can have your website integrated with anything that you need.
Mm-hmm.
There's another concept that we call it as a JSON. JSON is very important in the mobile development world because the mobile usually consume JSONs to extract the data and display it to you,
right,
other than the Objective-C's and the native language.
Uh-huh.
My personal is still C++. It is the most powerful language till I know.
Well, it gets C, you down to the nitty-gritty of the machine. You can get right into the addressing of the machine if you need to, but most people don't anymore.
One of my common questions in the technology landscape is people come to me and say, for how much can you deliver a website? And I go, I can deliver the same look and feel of the website for $1,000 to $20,000.
Right.
What's the difference? The difference is just giving you out a HTML5 code with a PHP background or a CMS, or making sure that every image that you are upload, so just imagine you are uploading an image, and the image has to automatically get resized into various forms,
right,
for various devices. And then not only resized, it should be stored for a high performance. It should be stored on a place like Amazon S3,
yep,
which is a storage network. From there, it has to be delivered over a CDN onto your browser.
Right.
So there goes the steps of different integrations.
So if you're saying for the $1,000, I'm going to accept the image in the way it's being delivered to me.
Yes.
For the $20,000, you're going to actually figure out the appropriate high definition image that I should see anytime I see it.
Absolutely.
And that there's a quality difference. You have to decide whether $19,000 is worth it. But
yeah, but it is not just that was a metaphor, because
yeah,
on a $20,000 site, you are also adding the caching mechanism.
Right.
So if you are then you are also adding something that we call it as our rapid backups. If your consumer is coming in and entering the data every minute, you need the backup of your site to be taken every time.
Yep.
And then you might be in different locations around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So you will need something that is on the servers over here in US as well as in Canada as well as in Europe.
Right.
So we usually call it as a content delivery network. What is content delivery network? It is all about having your data sitting into different servers at different physical locations.
Wow.
So usually when you run a website, the data is sitting on one web server.
Correct.
But if you have implemented content delivery network, then your data, your static data, is sitting on multiple servers around the globe based on the content delivery network that you would have chosen.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why your sites get delivered faster.
Uh-huh.
And Amazon CloudFront is something that we use very often.
Okay. Wow. All right, we're going to take a break. I need to digest all that. That just flew by me. All right, we're going to come back with just a minute. You're listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com.
I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
All right, I can't believe we're finishing up already. We had 2 hours of Rupak Gupta, who is part of or owner of Eureka Tech, and they are a web development, responsive web design organization up in White House Station. We're going to give out his contact information at the end of the show, but Rupak, there's a big push in the United States. Back in the, about 10 years ago, the push was that places like India, China, Korea, the Ukraine, all were doing development at a cheaper price. And it really wasn't a desire of many of us American folks to continue being part of that. Either we were too overpaid or we just did not have the same motivation and skills. There's a change. There's a shift that's going on in the American culture that we were trying to get more kids involved. More kids do want to get involved. What does it take? What should somebody start looking at to study to catch up to you and be at your level at some point? What would you suggest are things that they would do?
My suggestion is do not get overwhelmed.
Okay. Well, that's a given right there.
That is a big one.
Yeah, it could happen easily.
It can happen very easily because technology is a landscape where, if not guided by the college, you have so many options, and then you start picking up one, leaving it shortly after you picked it up, picking up the other one because your friend said, "Hey, that is great."
Yep.
So my key point is to focus on the basics of design in technology. So like there is a famous book that we used to study called as Gang of Fours, G-O-F. Mm-hmm. And that was the Bible because it taught you the principles of coding, not in terms of language, but in terms of English. So the key element that I always say is to concentrate not on writing the hello world, but on writing the hello world in a way that follows the proper standards.
Right.
So even if you're writing a Hello World program, it seems small. But then there have to be sections like your error handling section, your messaging section. You should look at the perspective of what will happen if something goes wrong. I still remember a time when I wrote an assembly language code, which is your bits and bytes.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I wrote it on almost a 50-page sheet. It took me about 4 days to write it.
Yes.
And I go in front of my professor. He asked me 3 questions. How will you handle if your program is entered a capital A instead of a small a? And I say, I have not done it.
Uh-huh.
Then he says, what will happen if your if the user does not enter any information and he press submit?
Right.
I say, I have not done it.
Uh-huh.
He tears the whole code and he says, go back, rewrite it. The lesson is,
yep,
it is very important to do it the right way, making sure you are handling all the
exceptions.
Yep. You are handling all the different kind of use cases.
Yep.
So sit down, think about what are my use cases, what can probably happen, and write your tests before you even write your code.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. So one of the things that we have learned is write your test before you write your code.
Yep.
And the second is do everything with discipline. One of the factors that really helped me out, and I was told about it while I was in my college, make sure you study in your professional life for the first half an hour of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You get up, if you are at that time, you study for half an hour, get onto good publications and just read for half an hour every day. Even though it is just those 30 minutes of your life,
right,
but in a longer run, it really helps you out.
There you go. Wow.
So, like a good publication that I always go, it's on YouTube, Talks by Google.
Mm-hmm.
It will give you a plethora of information. So my recommendation has always been be disciplined in whatever you do. Do not leave it halfway.
Yep.
Take it always to the finish line.
Yep.
And that's the key.
It's funny. I agree with everything you're saying, and I would say it's harder today to do what you're saying than when it was when I grew up learning computers. When I grew up learning computers, the cost of running a computer was far more expensive than me programming. Now it's me programming, and the computer time is cheap. So we only got the ability to run our programs 3 times. It had to be perfect after 3 shots. So you had to desk check all the time. Nowadays, with the rapid development environments and even the way the organizations just throw out betas, they're waiting for everybody else to figure out the exceptions. So you're giving me an old school concept, which is going to actually make, if somebody actually buys into your concept, they're going to be heads and shoulders above the masses of technology people because you're doing it differently. It's the 80-20 rule. And so you're telling me that 20% of the people will worry about the exceptions. 80% of the people just continue to run the code hoping for the best, hoping that the positives only turn out and don't worry about the crazy exceptions of the user and how they – and I, you know, still to this day, there are certain things that users do on computers and on software that I scratch my head and go, why would you even type that? But you have to prepare for it. You have to prepare for it. Excellent stuff. A pleasure having you on, Rupak. I appreciate you coming in for the 2 hours. I get the feeling we could be doing this for hours longer. Before we go, though, I want you to give out your contact information and anything else that is pertinent to about your business, and make sure the people have that.
So I can be reached at my number 908-923-0099, or at my personal cell 732-874-4127, and or you can visit our wonderful website at www.hurekateke.com.
EurekaTech.com. All right. Excellent. Pleasure having you on. How long you been in White House Station?
I have been in White House Station since 2006.
Oh.
So it's a long time, and I love the area. I love the community.
Excellent.
It's a much thriving community.
That's awesome. You have a storefront? Do you just work out of a out of your home? Or?
As of now, I'm in a home office.
Okay, home office. But he comes to your home and or comes to your business and does all the work there, or at least collects and gathers stuff, and then he comes back and goes in his den there and makes sure he gets all the work done for you. Pleasure having you on. I'd like to have you on again in the future at some point. We could talk more technology, all we can. What's your vision of the future? What are you looking forward to seeing over the next couple of years with regard to technology and web development?
I see Internet of Things and 3D printing coming out in a big way.
Okay.
And lives are going to change, especially because the way Internet of Things is going to get used up in our daily routine.
Yep.
So just a simple fact that a device can communicate with your smartphone and can be intelligent is right. Going to be changing ways in which we don't even fathom for now.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, sir. Thank you so much. Get in touch with Mr. Gupta here if you have some web technology questions. It's been a pleasure to have him on. Do not fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. That is the mission of Tech Today. And hopefully my man Gupta here has imparted that information onto you. We'll be back again next Tuesday. Stay tuned for Some Things About Money and then Food for Thought on HunterChamberRadio.com.
Is MD Hearing Aid offers medical-grade, FDA-registered hearing aids for savings of up to 90% over traditional hearing aids. MD Hearing Aid was founded by a Chicago surgeon determined to develop a hearing aid that was technologically advanced, simple to use, and most of all, affordable. Call 1-800-485-4408. You'll speak with a trained MD Hearing Aid professional who will match you with the best hearing aid for your needs. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. But you have to call right now. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-485-4408. That's 1-800-485-4408.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming. You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News. I'm Ron Taylor. Russian President Vladimir Putin says the downing of a Russian fighter jet by Turkey is a stab in the back. In Moscow, reporter Julia Loboba says Putin has set out a strong response.
He said that Moscow always considered Ankara as a friend. This event will have consequences on Russian-Turkish relations.
NATO has called an extraordinary meeting to discuss the incident along the Turkey-Syria border. Moscow says the Su-24 crashed on the Syrian side of the border and denies it had violated Turkish airspace. Both pilots ejected from the plane, but Syrian rebel forces say at least one of them is dead. The war on ISIS will be on the agenda as President Obama hosts French President Francois Hollande.